So there's a real sense of urgency in our gospel today. Last week, we read from Luke 9:51, where it says that Jesus resolutely sets his face towards Jerusalem. And so from here in the Gospel of Luke until Jesus arrives in Luke 9:41 at the outskirts of Jerusalem and weeps and mourns over her, right throughout this passage of 11 chapters, Jesus is always on this journey, this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And we know what that will entail: death, his passion, and ultimately the resurrection of Jesus. But suffering, that's what will be at the heart of this journey. And so for Jesus to make this pilgrimage, he wants to send out these 72 disciples to go and prepare the way for him, to make straight the path, so that when he arrives in that town, there will already be this sense of the kingdom of God being proclaimed in that place. Now, scholars say that 70 is one of those significant numbers for the Jewish people. We first come across this number 70 back in the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis. And that principle of first mention that I've spoken about before, that sense of when we first see a term or a word or a number, that's often the most significant place. And in Genesis 10, we have a listing of the 70 nations of the world. It's in the Hebrew version. In the Greek version, there's the 72. That's often why you get these variations between the 70 and the 72, between the Hebrew and the Greek translations. And so this sense that Luke, being the Gentile, being an outsider from the Jewish faith, understands that the ministry and mission of Jesus and the purpose of the church was to bring that very life of the kingdom of God outside just one nation into all the nations of the world. And so their understanding was that there was these 70, 72 nations. And so the sense of the 72 disciples were going out to proclaim this message of the coming of the kingdom of God to the whole world, to all the nations. We see 70 next in the book of Exodus in chapter 24, when these 70 elders are appointed by Moses to be sharers in that ministry of receiving the word of God. And even there were two more who were outside of that number, but the Spirit of the Lord descended on them as well. Within the Sanhedrin, there was also 70 as part of that. So it's this number of some significance, representing that fullness of the experience of the church. And so it's this understanding that Jesus is showing to us what the mission of the church is meant to be all about. So what does it look like? Well, the first thing is that he invites them to pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, because the harvest is ready. That's that sense of urgency. There's this need to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God in their very midst, right here and right now. And yet, for so many centuries, and probably perhaps the whole of Christian history, we've tended to pray and act as if God was simply somewhere out there. God was present somewhere in heaven, but not actually present and changing us from inside. That is the power of the incarnation, of Jesus taking human flesh. And then at the great day of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit descended upon the church to awaken them, to bring life and to animate the church. Why? So that we could be the very body of Christ, continuing to be the very presence of Jesus here in the world. Because God, for a Christian, does not just dwell somewhere out there, but he chooses to dwell in the church, in us, inside our very lives. That God makes his dwelling in our hearts and allows us to be that very sign and presence of the world. And yet, how often when we pray, do we say things like, "And Lord, we pray your blessing to be upon all those people who don't have enough food today. Lord, hear us," or something like that. Or when we're praying grace, we might think that we're very pious and trying to remember that sense of social justice. And yet, if we just vaguely are asking God to pour out his blessing on these vague individuals, what are we actually expecting to happen when we make that prayer? You know, what's our anticipation? What's our sense of what will actually be happening when we say that prayer? Another example, I read the story of this elderly nun who had come to a spiritual director in great turmoil. She was really distressed because there was a young sister in the community who she knew had been struggling for the last year or so. And she had just constantly held up this young sister in prayer, praying that this sister would recognize and understand the way that she had blessed the community and the sense of joy that she brought to the community, that she knew that this sister was struggling. And so really just every day she'd go to pray and pray for this particular young sister. But on this day she'd come distressed because the young sister had left the community. And a spiritual director said to her, "Well, did you ever actually get up and put feet to your prayer? Did you go and take the opportunity to go and talk to that young sister? Did you give her any words of encouragement? Did you ever go and share with her the insights that you had about the amount of joy and the gifts that she brought to that community?" And the sister said, "No, I didn't." That's the difference between praying as a theist, someone who believes that God is somewhere out there, and truly praying as a Christian. Because praying as a Christian means getting up and interacting, allowing our prayers to take on flesh and blood. Last weekend I was up in Brisbane, and on the Saturday night of the retreat that I was at, we had adoration. And so during this time of prayer, this young man came and said, "Father, can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." And he began to pour out his heart about this deep wound that he'd had from his childhood. And as he poured his story out, first I just put my hand on his shoulder and quietly prayed for him. But as the story became darker and the depth of the turmoil that he had experienced became clear, I knew that just a hand on the shoulder wasn't enough. And I knew that as a sign of God's presence and of Jesus wanting to show to him that even in that darkest hour, that Jesus was still there with him, loving him, forgiving him, I embraced him because it just felt like the right thing to do, particularly in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, as the love of Jesus was there shining upon us. Later in the evening, when it came time for the benediction, I could have just held the monstrance up and blessed the 50 young people who were there in the room. But instead, I went to every individual person and blessed them individually. Because it was that sense of the kingdom of God is very near. The kingdom of God is not just somewhere outside, but Jesus wants us to know that He is here. He is with us. He is loving not just us as a collective, but me, individually, every single one of you. And why is He loving you? Why is He pouring out His Spirit upon you this day? So that you can be His very presence in the world. The sense of the Christian church is that transformation. The church is not just here at St. Paul's in this particular building, but when you go home to be with your family, that you create the church there. You create that sense of the kingdom of God drawing near there. When you go to work tomorrow, there will be that same sense of bringing the kingdom of God to birth there in that place. Or school, or university, or when you hang out with your friends, all of those are signs and possibilities for bringing the kingdom of God to life, to birth. That is why Jesus commissions us and sends us out to be His very sign. It's not primarily about the words that we say. As Pope Francis has said in this new encyclical letter, The Light of Faith, that first experience of God when He revealed Himself to Abraham was of a God who wanted to be there, not just as a concept, but as a person in relationship with Abraham, our father in faith. And so let's indeed be people of faith who respond to God's call and allow that faith to change us and transform us to truly be the body of Christ, to be that sense of the very presence of God working and acting in the world all around us.